What I'd like you to do this afternoon is take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. For those of you who don't know who I am the youth pastor here at Birch Terrace Baptist Church, and my name is Andy Gleiser, and I am so happy that you are here today. This has been a desire of my heart for some time to put a conference like this together, and it tickles me to no end that you've come. I hope it's been a good day for you so far, and I hope you win dodgeball. I really do. We actually have a trophy and all that for you here in a little bit, so I hope you end up getting it and can take it home with you. Our desire, and my desire in this particular workshop time, is just to be as basic and as helpful as I possibly can be to helping you and myself to be more effective in prayer. I mean, let's face it. Every single one of us, if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, we really want to pray better. We really want to pray more. We want to be more effective. We want to pray passionately, whatever that is. And we can have a great desire to do so, but sometimes we say, well, what does that actually look like? What does it look like to pray passionately? And am I praying that way? Well, Lord willing, in the next 30 minutes or so, I want to show you from this man, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5, what passionate prayer really looks like. And the greatest thing about this is every single one of us can walk out of here and say, by God's grace, by God's enablement, I can do that. I mean, Paul was a great guy, but I'm pretty boring. I'm pretty normal. But I can do what he did. And I hope that you walk away with that mentality. I can pray like I should be praying. And as we see what it looks like. There was a 19th century Scottish theologian named Thomas Chalmers. He said this, prayer does not just enable us to do a greater work for God. Prayer is a greater work for God. We are called to do a great work for God. And if you want to do that, then young people, pray. Well, how am I supposed to pray? The Apostle Paul shows us and how he prayed for these believers in a Greek city called Thessalonica. Would you look, if you have a Bible, at verses 9 through 13. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. If you look back in verse number 10, Paul says he was praying night and day exceedingly. You know what this word exceedingly means? It means he was praying earnestly and fervently. Hey, I don't know about you. I want to pray that way. I want to be a believer in Christ who knows what it is to pray fervently, to pray passionately. And I think in the heart of every Christian is that desire. And even by your being here today indicates that there is at least some desire in your heart to how can I pray more effectively. Paul had a holy drive inside him to pray passionately for other people to his Lord. And what I want to give you here in our brief time are five indicators, if you will, are five elements of passionate prayer. Do you pray passionately? Well, I think I do. Well, how do you know? Well, here's how you know. Based on Paul's prayer to the Thessalonians, we learn, number one, passionate prayer is intercessory prayer. See, I can't spell that. Well, okay, it's praying for other people is what it means. It is intercessory prayer. In fact, the entire prayer of verses 9 through 13, did you notice Paul does not pray for himself? His own self is not the focus of his prayer. He is praying for other believers. Do you pray for other people? How often do you pray for your family? How often do you pray for your youth group? Are those in your church? Intercession is me praying for you. Intercession is you praying for somebody else. What we see Paul doing, he is praying for other people. Why? Well, because he loves them. He is concerned for their spiritual well-being and their spiritual health. He wants them to live a better Christian life. He wants them to be better in faith, better in love, better in holiness. He wants them to be a better Christian. Do you want your sister to be a better Christian? Do you want your brother to be a better Christian? Do you want your mom or your dad to be a better Christian? You want your pastor to be a better Christian? How about your youth pastor? What about your friend in your youth group? Do you want them to be a better Christian? See, of course I do. Then do you pray that way? Do you pray for other people to be better Christians? This passion that Paul had for other people to be better believers in Jesus Christ drove him to his knees to pray for them. Not just here in 1 Thessalonians, but all throughout his letters, we see this. There's a number of verses you can follow along if you'd like to. To the Christians in Rome, Paul said in Romans 1:9, God is my witness. God knows this to be true. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Ephesians, the church, the Christians in Ephesus. Ephesians 1:16, I make mention of you in my prayers. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Do you see that? Paul was always praying for you, for others. I don't know about you, but my prayers are often very selfish. Lord, I need a good grade. Lord, I've got this massive speech and I cannot do it. Lord, I want him to talk to me today. Lord, I've got to have that happen. We always pray typically about ourselves. Is it wrong to pray for ourselves? Absolutely not. We are called to pray for the big things, for the small things in our life. But how often do you pray for other people? But even greater than the Apostle Paul was Jesus. Did you know that Jesus intercedes? He prays for you. In Luke 22, he says to Peter, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. In John 17:20, guess who he prayed for the night that he was betrayed? In the garden, Jesus prayed for you. Did you know that? Little old you, all the way down in 2010, Jesus, the night he was betrayed, prayed for you. Look at it. John 17:20, neither pray I for these, his disciples, alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. You know, the apostles, the disciples, they wrote the word of God down in the New Testament. And it is in the New Testament we learn about salvation. You were saved because of the apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus prayed the night he was betrayed, the night before he was crucified, I pray for those people who are going to believe on me through the ministry of the apostles. I pray for them. Jesus prayed for you the night before he was crucified. But even now, Jesus prays for you. In Romans 8:34, we find out it is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What do you think Jesus is praying for you right now? You realize that? In the heavenlies, Jesus Christ is interceding for you, passionately praying for other people. What do you think he's praying for? Well, certainly he's praying for your endurance in the Christian life. He's praying for your forgiveness. He's praying, he is praying for your strength and your enablement. Jesus is praying for you. I have a question. Whom are you praying for? See, I want to be a better prayer.
I want to know what it is to be a passionate prayer warrior. What does that look like? Does it mean I gotta sweat when I really pray? Do I gotta start heaving and huffing and I'm just really praying passionately? Is that what it means to passionately pray?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Because how I passionately pray is different how you passionately pray in our emotion. But what does it look like? It is me praying for you. It is you praying for others. Do you pray for your dad? Do you pray for your mom? Do you pray for your little brother? Do you pray for your friends? Are your prayers me-centered? Or are they others-centered? You see, you pray for the people you love. That's why you pray so much about yourself. You love yourself, so you pray about yourself. Those whom you love, you're going to pray for. Okay. So what is passionate prayer? Well, it is, number one, intercessory prayer. Well, what else is it? This is easy to understand. Number two, passionate prayer is grateful prayer. Would you look at verse number 9? For what thanks can we render or give to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? What's Paul saying? Simply this. You people in Thessalonica, you believers, I cannot thank God enough for you. Every time I think about you and I come to pray for you, I end up saying, God, thank you for what you are doing in their life. This is what passionate prayer is. Paul was always saying, thank you, Lord, for other Christians. Again, more verses I'll show you. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God on your behalf. Ephesians 1:16, I cease not to give thanks for you. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Philemon 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You see that? When Paul prayed, he would begin his prayer this way, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in the Thessalonian believer's life. Thank you for what you're doing in the Colossian believer's life. Thank you for what you're doing in the church from Birch Terrace Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for what you're doing with so-and-so at Grace Baptist in Newcastle. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in, what are the churches we got here? Yeah, all right, very good. In Faith Baptist, in First Baptist, wherever you may be from. Lord, whatever church you are a part of, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Hey, listen, let me ask you this question. When you pray, because you know, I pray for my mom. I pray for my dad. All right. When you do that, do you begin your prayer this way? Lord, thank you for what you are working in the life of my dad. Lord, thank you. Before I pray even for my little sister, I want to thank you, Lord, for the spiritual growth that you're working in her life. Lord, thank you for my friend that you saved her from eternal ruin in hell. Thank you, Lord, that you rescued my buddy from sin, and you have saved him. And Lord, thank you for my cousin. Before I begin to really start praying for them, thank you for the spiritual growth and the work you've done in their life. Thank you that they are having a victory over sin, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. You say, well, I want to pray for somebody, and I see no evidence of God's work in their life. You can always find something, Lord. Thank you that you still have them alive, that you can still work in their heart. You see, whenever you, I want to passionately pray, then begin with thankfulness. You know, you can actually walk out of this room in just a few minutes and you can do this. When you pray, you can actually say, God, thank you for so and so. Thank you for this person, for what you are doing in their life. This is what passionate prayer looks like. Number three,
passionate prayer is frequent prayer. Again, this is really, really simple, but really effective. I want to be a better prayer? Then this is what you need to do. All right? Frequent prayer. Look at verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly. Now, this is not too hard to figure out. How often was Paul praying, according to verse 10? Night and day. When he was awake, when he was at work, he was praying for these people. Now, when Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians, he was actually in another city in Greece called Corinth. You can read all about it in Acts chapter 18. Paul was in Corinth, and he was doing two things in Corinth. He was working as a tent maker, making some money to help pay his way. He was also doing that, and then he was teaching. So he was tent making, and he was teaching the Bible throughout the day. He was a very busy man in Corinth. All right? So he's in Corinth, and he writes this letter to the Thessalonians, and he says, "While I'm in Corinth, I am praying for you night and day." But you say, "Wait a second, Paul, in Corinth, in Acts 18, you were tent making and you were teaching. What gives? How can you pray if you were always doing that?" And then you tell them, "I was praying night and day." Well, the only thing I can think of is this. Paul prayed throughout the day. Paul prayed while he was at work. Paul prayed while he was walking from place to place. Paul prayed during his lunch break. Paul prayed when he had to go relieve himself. I mean, when else could this be? He said, "I am always praying for you." You know what this is? I'm just trying to be as honest as I possibly can be and as real life as I can be. In our boring lives, as our lives can be quite boring and quite busy sometimes, Paul found out that he could pray many, many times throughout the day. It's kind of like what I would call this, a running conversation with God. You have cell phones, most of you probably. All right, cell phones are wonderful. I have mine. I hope I have it on vibrate. I think I do. Okay, that would not be good. Oh, I missed a call. Let me see here. Okay, I can call him back later. All right. If you think of your running conversation with God kind of like a cell phone. Okay? A cell phone that the first thing you do when you wake up, and you may do this anyway, some of you, the last thing you check before you go to bed is your cell phone. The first thing you check when you wake up is your cell phone, maybe. But let's just say that when you get up in the morning, kind of like a cell phone, you wake up and you start talking with God. "Lord, thank you for giving me another night of rest. Now, Lord, there's a lot of things going on today, and I do need your strength. I do need your enablement. And I got to get out of bed, and I got to get ready for the day, and I got to get ready for school. And Lord, my sister or my brother or my friend or my father, my mother, they've got a lot going on today, and I ask that you would help them in what they have to do." And then you get out of bed and you, as it were, say to the Lord, "I'll come right back to you, Lord." And you go and maybe you get a shower, maybe you start doing your hair, brushing your teeth. And while you do that, as you're getting ready, you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm back again. And I just want to remind you that, you know, my youth pastor, he's got a full day and whatever he's doing today, and he's got to preach tonight. And I really, as he's preparing, I ask that you would help him to know what exactly to pray as he preaches us tonight. Would you please help him? And I'll come back later, Lord." You go and you eat breakfast, and it's like the cell phone is still on. You never turned it off, and you're still talking with him. And as you're eating breakfast, you begin to start praying for that friend who has that big speech or that big test. Or you're praying for your sister or your brother. Whoever it is you're praying for, even for yourself, you keep a running conversation with God throughout the day, and you're at school and you finish one class and you're walking to the next class. Or if you're homeschooled, you are walking from one room to the next. I don't know. But as you're going from one thing to the next, you start praying and saying, "Lord, here I am again." And you never shut off your cell phone connection with God. It is a frequent prayer. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. No doubt Paul knew times of prolonged prayer
But when he left his prayer closet, he did not stop praying for others. I want to pray passionately. All right, then you've got to pray frequently. You've got to learn what it is to have a running conversation with God throughout the day. You can talk to God when you're driving. You can talk to God when you're taking a test. You can talk to God, and many of you do. You can talk to God when you are at home, when you're doing your homework, when you're at work. You can find a way to pray. Nobody can ever take that away from you. Wherever you are, you can pray. How can you pray passionately? Pray frequently. Number 4, I think that's the next one. Passionate prayer is specific prayer. You know, far too often when we pray, we are a lot like, Lord, please bless the missionaries type of a prayer. Or we have such a routine of prayer. Hey, would you please pray for the meal? Sure. And it's like you hit the record button or the playback button because you've played this prayer before. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the food. Bless our body in Jesus' name, amen. Ding! It's done. You know how to do that prayer. But passionate prayer is specific prayer. I want to show you. In verses 10 and 12 and 13, we're going to come back to verse 11 in a minute, we find three specific requests that Paul prayed for. My father mentioned in the last in our message earlier, sometimes we say, I don't know what to pray for. Here are three things to pray for. He prayed, number one, that their faith in Jesus would grow. Their faith in Jesus would grow. Would you look at verse number 10? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This word, the idea of faith is your faith in Christ. It's your Christian life. That which is lacking in your faith means there's something that is deficient in your faith. To perfect that which is lacking in your faith means I want to fix, or I want God to fix, that which is lacking or deficient in your faith. Now, does anyone here like to fish? Okay. See, very good. I don't. Maybe because I'm no good at it. If you were fishing in the first century, you wouldn't be using the rod and reel. You'd be using what other instrument? A net. Very good. And you would, as a first century fisherman or fisherwoman, you would take that net and you would toss it out and you would pick up all these fish. I guess they would just magically swim to the net. I don't know how that would work. That's why I'm not a good fisherman. And they would pick it, and they would bring up the fish. Now, a good fishing net obviously has little tiny holes in it because it helps to go through the water that way. But after a while, even a good fishing net can begin to start fraying and ripping and tearing. And these little holes become gaping holes. Now, you're not real wise, you're not real smart, if you got this gaping hole in the net saying, I'm going to go fishing today, and I'm going to throw it out there and look at this giant catch, and whoo, you go right and the fish swim right through, and then, you know, you're the idiot because you got a problem with your net. What's a good fisherman or fisherwoman to do with a hole net, a net with a gaping hole in it? What should they do? They should fix the net. Fix the hole. All right. That is the exact picture that Paul's talking about. He says, your Christian life is kind of like the fishing net. And there's a hole in it that needs to be fixed. And my prayer is that the Lord Jesus would fix your hole. That He would fix the problem in your life. Now, how many of you have a brother or sister at home who have problems in their Christian life? Yes. And they would say the same thing about you. How many of you have young people in your youth group that you say, they got some problems in their Christian life? Of course. You know, everyone else can raise their hand because you got problems and so do I. The problem, the issue is, you know the people you live with, your family, you know those who you go to church with and even those who you go to school with. You know the problems in their life. I just don't know what to pray for. pray that God would fix those problems in their life, that their faith in Christ would be fixed, that it would grow, that it would be mended. That is what we should pray for. You say, well, you have, there's many holes, I should say, in the Christian life that can be fixed. In many people's lives, Bible reading is lacking. And you can pray, Lord, would you fix that hole? Prayer is lacking. Lord, fix that hole in this person's life. Someone is lacking peace, or they are deficient in wisdom or discernment, and their unbiblical thinking is abounding. Someone else is struggling with love, or someone is struggling with church attendance, or someone is struggling with purity, or self-control, or grace-filled speech, or a heart passion for God, or the relationship with a parent or parents is not right. Hey, you know what the problem is. You know what the hole is. Pray for that to be fixed. Pray for the faith to grow and be established. So let me ask you this question. Do you pray specifically for God to step in and to grow the faith of your mom? Do you pray for God to grow the faith of your pastor, of your sister, of your youth group, of someone else in your church, of your aunt, your uncle? Do you pray this way? Pray specifically that their faith in Jesus would grow. Pray, number two, that their love for others would flow. Okay. Look at verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we were among you. You say, ah, pray for love. Yeah, this is not romantic love. No, no. This is Bible love. This is love that gives. This is sacrificial love. This is not the love that is on television or on the DVDs. This is what we call agape love, Christ love. Paul says, I'm praying that the love of Christ would flow out from you, that it would increase and abound, that it would grow and then overflow. My favorite drink in all the world is Dr. Pepper. And I appreciate any of you who agree with me on that. I would never do this, but if you had a cup, it was empty, a glass, and you began to pour Dr. Pepper in it, you would watch it grow, 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 and it get to the top. And then if someone kept pouring, what would happen to that beautiful Dr. Pepper? It would overflow. It would spill over. And the idea is, Paul says, I'm praying that the love of Jesus would be so poured into you that it would fill you up to where it just spills out of you toward other people, to Christians and to non-Christians, that you do acts of kindness. That's what this love is. It's active love. It's not a feeling. It's action. That you would unselfishly give yourself to other people. That as you pray for your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or your friend or your youth group or your church member, whoever you pray for, as you pray for them, that you pray that they would do acts of kindness for other people. You know, this is what passionate prayer looks like. Lord, I pray for, in my case, I pray for my wife, that you would help her today to be unselfish to other people. It's Mark 10:45, which is a great verse and one that we're trying to learn more and more in our youth group. It's called being a 10:45 Christian. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It's the idea of how can I be a blessing to you? I want to pray passionately for other people. All right, then pray that they would give of themselves for others. To be unselfish. And then the third request is that their holiness of life would show. So that their faith in Jesus would grow, their love for others would flow, and their holiness of life would show. Verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. What does this verse mean? It means this. Young people, Jesus is coming again. It could be today. And when Jesus comes, he is going to come to rapture his bride, the church. This sounds funny. I'm a guy, but I'm the Lord Jesus' bride because I'm a part of his church.
You, as a Christian, are the bride of Christ. And just like any groom wants a pure bride, so Jesus wants a pure bride when He comes. You are His bride. The people in your family, as believers, are His bride, and so are those in your youth group. I just don't know what to pray for anybody. Pray this for your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend, your youth group, your church, your pastor. Lord, I pray that when You return, and maybe even today if You return, I pray that we would be holy and pure. That sin would be confessed, that sin would be removed. Lord, this I pray, that we, that he, that she, this person I know and love, would be holy. Do you pray that way? It'd be a lot better to pray this way than, Lord, please help so-and-so's stubbed toe to be healed. But that's how we often pray. Pray for their holiness of life would show. There's a verse there I think I have for you, Ephesians 5:27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Pray for your family. Pray for your friends to stay clear of sin and to be holy because Jesus is coming back. How do you pray passionately? Passionate prayer is intercessory prayer. It's praying for others. Passionate prayer is grateful prayer. Lord, I thank You for these people. A passionate prayer is frequent prayer. When you have time on your hands and when you don't have time on your hands, you pray for other people. Instead of always running to Facebook and always running to the cell and always running to the internet, why don't you pray every once in a while for other people? And passionate prayer, specific prayer. Lord, I pray that their faith would grow. I pray that their love for others would show or flow. And I pray their holiness of life would show. And last of all, passionate prayer is, from verse 11, dependent prayer. Verse 11, now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto You. This phrase, direct our way, means, Lord, or Paul said, Lord, I pray that You would remove the obstacles so that we could get back to Thessalonica and can minister back again with You. He said, I long to see you, Thessalonians, so I can help your faith and your love and your holiness. But only God can make it happen. So I'm praying for God to make it happen. So what does passionate prayer look like? It looks like this. Lord, I pray that You would change my dad. I pray You'd change my mom. I pray You'd work in my brother, my sister, my friend. As I'm praying for these people, Lord, I realize only You can do it. Lord, if they're going to change, if they're going to be a better Christian, if they're going to confess sin, if they're going to repent, if they're going to be right with You, it's only going to be because of You, Lord. And I pray specifically that You would do this, realizing it is only Your power. I confess my need of You. I confess their need of You. Okay. My whole burden, honestly, young people, is just for you to take these five things and say, I can implement. That's a big word that means stick it in my life. I can take these and I can fix them in my life. I can pray this way. You know what? You can. You can pray this way. You can pray for others. You can say, God, thank You for this person. You can pray frequently for others. You can pray specifically for others. And you can pray dependently, Lord, only You can make this happen. If we begin in earnest and serious to pray for other people in our family and in our church youth group and in our church, I do believe we would start seeing God doing some remarkable things in our lives and in those whom we love. That's what it looks like, according to Paul, to pray passionately. Well, let us pray and we'll finish. Heavenly Father, thank You for each young person who's here and these youth groups. God, I'm so thankful that You have laid it on their hearts to be here today. I ask specifically that You would help these young people here to grow in their faith today. Would You fix that which is lacking? Would You help them to be unselfish to other people, even on a dodgeball field? May they demonstrate the love of Jesus and acts of kindness, just because that's what You would do. May they live holy lives before You, unblameable, as they wait for You to come. And I pray, God, You would stir in their hearts to pray as they have not prayed before, and You'd answer their prayers and show them great and mighty things which they
cannot even comprehend. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.